We began this morning talking about a thought, the gift that keeps on taking. When you give place to the devil, you give that to the devil, he just keeps on taking. The Bible said that he's a thief. The thief cometh not for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I was thinking a while ago, Brother Ralph, as the choir was singing, not only how many pastors would love to have 18 people, that's about as few as we have. We've had as many as 54 go out on visitation. But how many pastors would like to have a choir full like that on Sunday night, singing, amen, praises to the Lamb? It's a blessing. It's a real blessing. The gift that keeps on taking. Neither give place to the devil. This morning, I'm not going to recap it all. It certainly would take too long to do that. But we found some people in the Bible that gave place to the devil, and it cost them. Moses did that. David did that. Elimelech did that. And there are others in the Word of God that have done that as well, and it cost them. And tonight we want to just try to sound the warning to God's people. This morning, the first point in the message, we said when we give place to the devil, he is taking, and it'll show up in our mind. He's taking, and it shows up in our mind. That's the first place it shows up, because you begin to kind of agree with, whether you like it or not, with the secular humanist, that we're our own God. Now, honey, we might have been before we met Jesus, but once we met Jesus, we're no longer our own God. Amen. We wasn't then. We might have thought we were. You understand what I mean? We might have agreed with them in some form or fashion. But certainly after we get saved by the grace of God, we should not be going down that road anymore. And so it shows up in our mind because we forget who we belong to. The chapter starts off, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew who he belonged to. I'll say some more things about Paul tonight in the message. But he knew that he was not his own. He knew he had been bought with a price, and he knew that he was to glorify God in his body and in his spirit, which are the Lord's. In other words, that belongs to him. You know, it kind of reminds you of the tithe. It's really his. Amen. And that to keep it is to rob him of that is really his. Amen. And so my body is really his. For me to keep it is to try to rob God. Amen. For me to keep it. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, Jesus said, for my name's sake, shall save it. And that's what he's talking about. The second thing in the message tonight, when we give place to the devil, he is taking, and it will show up in our walk. Look what the Bible said here in the second part of verse number 1. The Bible said, we beseech you, the prisoner of the Lord, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or beg you, that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The very fact that this is put in the Bible is an indication that when a person gets saved, it's not an automatic, it's not a given that that person is going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they're called. Brother Steve, when he was talking about the crowns this morning in the class, he said it's not something that's just automatic. It's something that God's people, they determine that they love the Lord, therefore they want to serve the Lord. And those that love the Lord and serve the Lord, one day will be able to have a reward from the Lord to lay at his feet and cry like the elders, the 420 elders, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. And so to show up in our walk, he said, walk worthy of the vocation. You see, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. After that, he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. In Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I tell you what I'd like to be doing when Jesus comes after me. I'd like to be walking with God. Amen. I'd like to not be given place to the devil, and it show up in my walk. Amen. Because, listen, not only does it show up in our mind, but it'll go from our mind to our feet,
It'll change the places we walk in. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but there are people tonight that are not in church that at one time in their life would not dream of missing a Sunday night service. And when we give place to the devil, honey, it ain't going to just show up in our mind. Sooner or later, others are going to see it. It's going to show up in the path, the way that we walk. Amen. It's going to show up in our walk. I'm not fussing tonight. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, pastor gets to missing. Amen. Somebody's going to wonder what happened. Right? Well, amen. Well, did God save me any more than he saved you? No, sir. Amen. It's required. Moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what the word of God said. And we'll have to be faithful to show up in our walk. In Noah's life, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Revelation 3:4, there has the few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say when a Christian gives place to the devil, honey, it won't just show up in their mind, but it's going to show up in their feet. It's going to show up in the places they go and in the places they no longer go. It'll show up in their walk. And Paul said we ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. The songwriter said it like this. And he walks with me. The devil can't stand that. He can't stand for a Christian tonight to be able to sing and mean it and it be true. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. The devil hates that tonight. So what's he want to do? He wants to try to give every one of us an avenue to give place to the devil. Because after a while, it'll show up in our walk. Two men were talking one day, and he said his wife had been talking to him. And said his wife one. Told him one day, said, they passed this pickup truck and said, this woman, this man was married to, was just almost sitting in his lap. Said, she looked at him and said, you know what? Said, we used to ride like that. He looked at her and said, I'm sitting right where I always have been. Honey, you slid over against the passenger door, amen. I'm still here behind the wheel. Well, guess what? If there's a distance between us and our Lord, he's sitting right where he always has been. It's not him that moved. It's us that moved. Because we gave place to the devil. I wonder tonight if it doesn't show up in the walk. The Bible said not only walk worthy in Ephesians chapter 4, but I thought it would be a good place to include this. There's also the phrase, walk not. Look in verse 17 down through verse number 19. I'll cover this and we'll go on to the next point. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, look at these two words, walk not. See, God's word doesn't only tell us how to walk, but God's word tells us how not to walk. I think that's pretty good medicine, amen? Sometimes, as far as our health, it's not just what we eat, but what we don't eat. What we do, but what we don't do. Now, the Bible said here, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Remember when our understanding was darkened? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, the Apostle Paul is instructing the church at Ephesus not only to walk worthy, how to walk of the vocation, but he's telling them how not to walk. Don't walk You hardly ever anymore, am I telling it right? Hardly ever hear any preaching on separation anymore. Hardly ever. It used to be the main theme in the preaching. Amen. Come out from among the world. Be a separate people, saith the Lord. It's still in the book. It's still right. To walk not as other Gentiles walk, but to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. So, when an individual gives place to the devil, that gift will just keep on taking. That giving place to the devil will show up in our mind. It'll show up in our walk. Now, I want you to notice, there's one letter that could change this whole sermon. That's the letter Y. But I'm not preaching it like that because it's not accurate like that. I didn't say it'll show up in your mind. I didn't say it'll show up in your walk, Brother Gary. I said it'll show up in our mind. I'm going to tell you, when a preacher thinks he's exempt, he's crazy. Because the preacher is as apt to give place to the devil as anybody else is. He needs the prayers of those he loves. It'll show up in our walk. But let me give you this tonight. The Bible said in verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. The third thing I want to say in the message tonight, this is probably as far as we'll get tonight, a lot of ground to cover here, is when we give place to the devil, he's taking from us. Not only will it show up in our mind, not only will it show up in our walk, but it will show up in our attitudes. Children sometimes, even Olivia, every once in a while she gets to acting like her mama. I mean, her mother. No, the truth is her papa. And she needs an attitude adjustment. How many knows what I just said? Brother Kevin, those sweet girls of yours, do they ever need an attitude adjustment? I'm talking about your wife now. I'm not talking about... I set him up for that one, didn't I? Amen. You know what God does? He has children, Brother Rose, that He loves. It loves us too much to leave us to ourselves. And every once in a while, He'll come along and He'll adjust on our attitude. You say, preacher, that's not pleasant. No, but it's necessary. You know what we'd be if He didn't? We'd be spoiled brats. God wants us to be a people that walk right and talk right and act right and have the right attitudes in life. Let's look at this and study it for just a moment. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Lowliness, that word means modesty, humbleness of mind. It's just the opposite of pride. Meekness means humility. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture tonight. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible said in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. There's not 1 ounce of anything in our lives outside of Christ that would allow us to esteem anybody better than our own stinking self. But in Christ, we can walk in lowliness. Can have the right attitude towards the brethren. The right attitude towards the Savior. The right attitude towards the sinner. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one toward another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. You say, preacher, what happens when a person gives place to the devil? It'll show up in their attitude. They'll begin to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. Beloved, let me say this to you tonight. I don't have to go into names. I couldn't remember a lot of them anyway. But just since I've been saved in the last how many years I've been? I'm 30 years. 30 years. I think either February was 30 years. Yeah, February. No, next February will be 30 years. Been saved almost 30 years. Many pastors, Brother Ralph, many pastors have went down like a sack of rocks. You say, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you one of the things that happened. You mark this down. They begin to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. Listen, some men don't need somebody to put them on a pedestal. They'll climb up there themselves. But it's a danger. It's a danger. It's giving place to the devil when it'll show up in our attitude if we're not careful. Humility. Listen to what Andrew Murray said. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me. And when I am blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around is trouble. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive work on Calvary's cross, manifested in those who own, those of his own who are definitely subject to the Holy Spirit. Honey, that's a definition of humility that this generation doesn't know much about. Some people get all blowed up if somebody says something good about them. And others get all torn down if somebody says something bad about them. Want to walk in lowliness of mind, realizing all we deserve is a place in hell. That's all we deserve. But God, who is rich in love, with his great love wherewith he hath loved us, he showed mercy to us and he saved us by his grace. The opposite of this lowliness, this humbleness of mind, this meekness, the opposite would be proud. Pride, the wicked through pride, the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowliest wisdom, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me give you this tonight. There's one thing that I think folks along the way, I've heard statements that caused me to understand that they don't really understand humility or being humble. The Bible tells us to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That is an act of submission. We're not to go to God in prayer and ask God to humble us. We're instructed of God to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're instructed of God with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And to realize tonight that when the devil comes along and we give place to the devil, that is one of the areas where it's going to show up. Brother Steve, you mentioned in class this morning, pride. that pride will rear up. Let me give you this. It's not nearly as bad as it used to be. But when I first started out in the ministry, I battled. Brother Dennis, God would get the blessing, the work. You get to see the people saved. You get to see the church grow. You say, well, preacher, what a blessing. That ought to be humbling. That's exactly right. But how many knows that the pastor's got flesh too? If you're not careful, even, my friend, when you're trying to do something for God, that old pride will raise up. Say, boy, you're something. Yeah, we are. We're something with Him and we're nothing without Him. One preacher said, without Jesus, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. Think about that. Nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. You say, preacher, I don't understand why that pride with the devil would use that to try to trip us up. Why we would ever give place. Well, how many remembers how it started in his heart? The Bible said in Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I'll ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I'll be honest with you tonight. If we will not humble ourselves, we'll be brought down one day. A person that will not humble themselves and be saved by the grace of God, they'll humble themselves one day and bow at the feet of Jesus and acknowledge that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you tonight, a Christian will not humble themselves, giving place to the devil, shows up in their attitude. It shows up in a spirit of pride. A spirit of pride may not bother you. Listen to me. If you have a spirit of pride. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll get an amen right here. If you're walking with God, and somebody comes alongside you in arrogance or pride, it makes you want to vomit. Well, if it makes God's people sick, how does it make God? Amen. Makes Him sick. The church at Laodicea was eat up with pride. We're rich. We're increased with goods. And we have need of nothing. I tell you what they needed. They needed their eyes opened, so they could see. They needed their eyes anointed with eye salve, that they could see. Tonight, it shows up in our attitude. I'll give you a couple things and I'm done for tonight. I want you to look at Paul's humility real quickly. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm the least of the apostles." Think about that. Yeah. Ephesians 3:8, he said, "Unto me, who am the least of all the saints." Let's see what the text is. 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." How many knows this was not a false humility? That the Apostle Paul, he said, if you're talking about apostles, put me on the bottom rung. Brother Ralph, he said, that ain't good enough. If you're just talking about God's children, if you're just talking about saints, put me on the bottom rung. But he said, if you're talking about them sinners, you can go ahead and put me on the top rung. What is that? It's humility. He was not giving place to the devil. Every time Paul got up to preach, or I shouldn't say every time, but in the Bible when it's recorded over and over and over, you find the Apostle Paul taking your trip backwards to the road to Damascus. He lets you know what he was doing before he met Jesus. And he lets you know what Jesus did in his life and what Jesus called him to do. And the Apostle Paul was humble enough to understand and know that everything that he was by the grace of God. In Romans chapter 7, he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Beloved, it would behoove us to remember that. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's not our spirit that wants to give place to the devil. It's our flesh that wants to give place to the devil. One preacher said one time, boy, it was a profound statement. He said, I'm going to tell you why people sin. It was a profound statement. He said, because they want to. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make thee a way of escape, that you'll be able to bear it. Think about that. God is faithful. Paul's humility. I'll give you this illustration and I'm finished tonight. Hudson Taylor, I'm sure you've heard of him. He was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia. The moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China. And then he presented him as our illustrious guest. Hudson Taylor stood quietly for a moment, and then he opened his message by saying, dear friends, I'm a little servant of an illustrious master. I don't know the definition entirely of the word illustrious, but I know what the man was trying to do. He was trying to build up the missionary. God used Hudson Taylor to accomplish some wonderful works in China. But the missionary that had been used by God, Brother Dine, he didn't feel like the word illustrious belonged to him, but that it belonged to his master. That's humility. When we give place to the devil, here's what the day has been about here at Bible Way. It'll show up in our mind. We'll forget. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. It'll show up in our feet, in our walk. It'll show up if we give place to the devil, and he'll keep on taking, keep on taking. He gets a little place in your mind. How many knows I'm right? He'll just keep on taking ground. Somebody said one time, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Somebody else said, you can't afford it. We'll get into that later in the chapter. There's a lot in this chapter. I hope between now and Wednesday night you'll read this chapter and read it again and read it again and read it again. Because there's an enemy. If we just give him place, he'll just keep on taking. Keep on taking. Then it'll show up in our attitude. I'm asking everybody except Miss Eve. How many of you have a spouse that somewhere along the way has had a bad attitude? You're a bunch of chickens. Oh, amen. I feel like doing a chicken dance. You know what happens when we get a bad attitude? We give place to the devil. The truth of the matter is, I don't deserve a lady like Miss Eve. Brother Ralph, she is a gift from God to this preacher. And I've done many things along the way that had the potential to mess it all up. But God. I'm just glad you come tonight. Don't give place to the devil. Please. One preacher said one time, he said, it's easy, real easy. I can relate to this. To tell people how they ought to raise their children. He said, until they have teenagers. And then they realize there's no such thing as a perfect formula. Now, the Bible's the perfect formula, but you understand what I mean. We've got to have God's help to raise children. Children are different. They have different needs. Amen? God's children are different. And He has the ability to meet every one of their needs. Amen? Let's remember that tonight. Let's remember not to give place to the devil. It'll show up. It'll show up. Emily, does it ever show up on you? I'm not looking at your mom or your dad. I'm looking at you. Me too, honey. Give him a little bit. It'll show up somewhere, won't it? It'll show up. Sure will. Appreciate the Lord, don't you? Amen. Everybody saved tonight? Anybody here needs to be saved? You need to be saved. I'd run to this altar. You say, well, what would happen if I run to that altar? Well, as long as you understand, you'd be running to Jesus. If you need to be saved tonight, that's what I'd do. I'd run to Jesus. If you need an attitude adjustment tonight, you know what I'd do? I'd run to the same Jesus. Let me ask you something. If I come to this pulpit full of myself, how many of y'all think you'd about be sick before the service is over? I can't afford that, can you? You pray for me that I'll come to this pulpit full of God, not full of myself. Not thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. But always trying to lift up our illustrious guest. Because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Amen.